Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best name, Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle.
And one of the ways you get high percentage threes is to get offensive rebounds and toss them back out. And if we don't get those rebounds, they're going to get them and toss them back out.
Now, rebounding is a massively important stat.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
It is time to rejoin our exclusive interview with Bill Ingram of USA Today, the senior reporter with Hoops World.
Well, we're very excited. The next segment we want to talk about as far as your brand new book that's just been released. It is titled Life is a Mindset. You don't have to be born rich to be wildly successful. And always as a courtesy when we do book reviews on our radio show, I always want to know, what is the inspiration behind this book? What led you to come to this decision to write this book?
Well, I think it's, you know, a lot of people have ideas or they can do things well, but they don't know how to make money at it or how to be successful with those sorts of things. And I was very fortunate because my dad always taught me from a very young age that life is a mindset, that life is what you make of it. And if you have a positive approach, you have a different way of life than if you have a negative approach. And you know, Yoda was something he'd point to and say, you know, in Empire Strikes Back.
You're talking my son's language. He loves that.
So between my dad and Yoda, I start the book with the line that the older I get, the smarter my parents get. And it's exactly that, because my dad would tell me things as I was growing up, and sometimes, oh, he's old, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Then as I got older, I realized, God, everything he ever told me was exactly right. And so my dad always worked for himself. He owned a chain of retail stores when I was growing up, books and teacher supplies. And then he became a financial manager and had clients that, you know, he did financial investing and that sort of thing. But he always did it his own way and did it for himself. And it taught me that you don't always have to be under someone else's thumb. You don't always have to be clocking in at 8 and clocking out at 6 or whatever. Sacrificing family, sacrificing just life in general, to doing something you don't like. So many people do things that they don't like to do because it's for the money. But what if you could do something you like to do and make money doing it? And so my partner, Amal Shaw, who we co-authored the book, he was talking about this Reed philosophy. If you're relentless, enthusiastic, ambitious, and disciplined, you can accomplish anything. And I thought that summarizes what my dad has always taught me. Set your sights on a goal, don't take no for an answer, and work harder than everybody else to get it. And that's ultimately how Hoops World went from being two of us starting a little NBA website to being part of USA Today Sports, is because we saw the way the NBA was being covered and we thought this can be done better, and we're going to work every day to do it better, and we're going to eventually, you know, understanding that eventually that would pay off, and eventually it did. So it took a while. You know, I tell people are like, oh, you get to work with the NBA. Like, well, it's not like somebody just handed us the keys to the website and said, go. We had to work tirelessly. We had to be relentless, enthusiastic, ambitious, and disciplined. We had to, you know, we're both working other jobs. My partner was a TI guy, and I was teaching during the day and doing games at night and getting 3 or 4 hours of sleep most of the time just to continue pushing Hoops World forward to get to the point where we are, to where USA Today wanted to make us a part of their company. So.
And Bill, it really was an amazing journey. It took 10 years to get to this level. And one of the stories that I want you to share, too, that you talk about in the book is you were just highlighting as far as your relationship with your dad. He's been such a guiding influence and force throughout your life. But when you brought him here to the AAC and you took him center court, I mean, it's very special.
When we got our first big check, to where I could retire from teaching and just focus on covering the NBA, my dad came in, and I had him, you know, we do a lot of video with players and stuff, and I always have someone shooting video for me, and I was like, just come, you know, come down and shoot video for me and let him kind of see what we do, go in the locker room and see, like, he met Shaquille O'Neal one time, and that was something he told people. He's not a big sports guy, but he's like, everybody knows who Shaquille O'Neal is, so he'll tell people, this is my son, he introduced me to Shaquille O'Neal, you know. But I took him down to midcourt, and as you know, having a credential that gives you access to midcourt is it's very rare air down there. I took him and we stood on there and I said, I want you to know the reason that we are standing here right now is because of you. Mm. Because you taught me when other people would say, oh, you should just take the safe route, get a nice job with benefits, you know, retire at 65 and all that. My dad said, well, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I know you and that's not what you want to do. What you really want to do is, you know, write and do these things. And he said, so if you want to settle for choosing something you don't really like doing, just so you have the job and the security, blah, 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 which there's no security really anymore. But he said, I'll support you in doing that, but you should chase your dreams. You should decide exactly what you want to do and chase it until you're successful, because with the kind of determination that you have, you will be successful in anything you do. And on the days where I felt like I could not, you know, getting up at 6 and going and teaching all day and then have a couple hours to eat and maybe get a run in and then come back down to the arena, and there were days where, you know, through 10 years, there were a lot of times I was like, man, I don't know how much longer I can do this. And he would say, look at all the progress you've made. Now this has happened, that's happened, this has happened, this has happened. You know, you guys are credentialed for the All-Star game now, which used to be a big deal. Now it seems like they let everybody in there. People go in there asking about comic book characters and stuff. But when we first got credentialed for the All-Star game, it was very, very hard to get those credentials. And so he would point out the milestones to me and encourage me and say, keep going, look at how far you've come. Keep going. And so we would keep going. And obviously, it paid off.
Well, and I was going to say, you know, when you're going through that journey, you're taking a difficult path, you're always going to have, as you talked about in the book, that white noise. And you're going to have the naysayers and the critics. And they're like, what are you doing? They really don't understand where you're trying to go with your dream. And it sounds like your father was the one that encouraged you the entire way and continues to do so.
He was. And he continues to be the brightest spot. I mean, you know, when I talk about my best friend, I have several best friends. Mm-hmm. But my dad is the one who has always been there. He's that person I can just tell anything to, whatever is going through my head, whatever crazy idea. And he never judges. He's always very supportive. You know, even stupid stuff, I can tell him, man, I did this stupid thing. He'd be like, oh, that's too bad. But, you know, here's what you learned from that. You know, he's always got a positive spin for things. And so, he's been... I really do, when I think about the success that I've had and what my mindset is for my life, it's so much because of the things that he taught me growing up and the way that he's continued to support me to this day.
So what was that day like? And when you got that phone call, or it was the email, in terms of Hoops World teaming up with USA Today, that was powerful.
It was. The first one was when we, in 2004, we teamed up with a new company that was looking to build a four sport kind of thing, and we were the first one they wanted to acquire. Mm-hmm. And so I got a check that allowed me to buy a house. So that was the big one. Going and I didn't pay the entire house off, but making a huge down payment on the house and sticking a bunch of money in savings and that sort of thing. That was a big moment. That was the big payoff moment. Now, USA Today, it's more of a notoriety thing, more than, you know, the sports industry is kind of, no one's really sure what to do with it. Even Mark Cuban will tell you, how do you monetize the internet? I don't really know. He's got some interesting ideas, but even Mr. Entrepreneur isn't exactly sure how to do it. So we're still waiting to see what USA Today is going to, what we're going to do with them. But the first one where, you know, it was like, here come, you're going to fly to New York and we're going to sign contracts and here's a check and you're going to go. That was, you know, there were a lot of people that I didn't then call people and say, see, but there were people in my mind that I thought, I'm just going to put this out there and not in a na 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 kind of way, but just in a, oh, by the way, guess what happened at work today? And it was great. It was really good.
Of course, the title of Bill Ingram's book, it is Life is a Mindset. You don't have to be born rich to be wildly successful. And tell all of our listeners and our viewers where they can go and get a copy of this.
Well, it's on Amazon.com, and you just look up the title, Life is a Mindset. And I want to emphasize something that, you know, the book is not super thick. You might actually read this. Our goal in writing the book was to write something that if I handed it to a high school student, which we go and speak to high school students, we speak to college athletes, we speak to pro athletes. If I hand them this book, in fact, one AT&T executive, when we met with them a couple weeks ago, said, wow, I might actually read, thank you, I might actually read this book. I've been in all these seminars where I get 300-page books, and I'm never going to read those. When I retire, they'll be in boxes and shipped to my attic or whatever. And the idea is to give you something that you can actually use right away. What does it mean to be relentless? It's one thing to say, hey, be relentless. What does that mean? Break it down in very clear terms. And I use both references from our journey with Hoops World to famous people. People like, I like to use fictitious people because I'm big into movies. So Marty McFly, who could play guitar, but oh, I just don't know if I should. But went back and had a chance to rework things and then had the ability to be successful. Clint Eastwood, who never wanted to be an actor, but was discovered when Wagon Train was filming an episode at a fort in Southern California where he was a lifeguard and said, hey, that guy looks, he should be an extra for us. Now he's a cultural icon. Oprah Winfrey, who had an idea when she was dirt poor living in the sticks of Mississippi that she might want to do a little radio. Now she's Oprah Winfrey. What else needs to be said? J.K. Rowling, who obviously the Harry Potter books, living on the British equivalent of welfare. You talk about all these people who had nothing. All the examples that we use in our book, Kobe Bryant, people who didn't start from a position of having an advantage. They started from nothing. And the only way they were successful was through their ability to be relentless, enthusiastic, ambitious, and disciplined. And so this is about what does it mean to be those things. And then you go to our website, which is backinthegame247.com, and we've got some videos on there that you can even get additional stuff, and then we can come and, you know, people that like to buy our book, we like to come talk to the people that are reading it. So that's we're very excited about giving people hope, giving people, to me it's pay it forward, because my dad was so supportive of me and helped me to do things and see things that most people don't. Like, how would you go about, oh, I want to start a website that's going to later be, we're going to be the best thing covering the NBA. Wow, how do you do that? You focus on day by day what you're doing today, and then tomorrow, worry about tomorrow. If you start thinking about the big picture, you'll get lost. But step by step, how can you be successful in whatever field you're looking to do? This book is about step by step, really learning to take one step at a time, to be successful one step at a time, and then always have the next goal in mind. Between the book, between the website, and then we'd love to come talk to you. We feel like we have a program that if you really genuinely want to be successful in a field, whatever your field is, even if it's the NBA, we can help you do that.
It's so neat to hear you talk about your relationship with your father, but I must share that you are one proud daddy, too. You have a daughter, Riley. Is she two now?
She will be two June 24th.
Oh, isn't
she waited till the finals were over here in Dallas to be born, which I appreciated, because obviously
we were very excited
about that. And then right after the finals ended, it was draft night, and she came, like, perfect.
Like Faith Hill sings, a baby changes everything. It's always wonderful to be a parent. And I will tell you, I was reading your book. I was actually going through it again on the golf course, and our oldest son, Stephen, picked it up. He looked on the back, and he said, Mommy, is that Kurt Warner?
You don't know how many times. I went to college in St. Louis, and Kurt Warner was the quarterback of the Rams at that time, and I don't know how many times people would walk up and ask me for an autograph. I was like, especially because I had, like, Rams polos. You know, I'd be wearing something that said Rams on it, and just as a fan of the team, and mostly a fan of Kurt Warner, and I could ask for an autograph, and I'd be like, I'm not who you think I am, but there is a strike. I'm a little taller than he is, but it is a striking resemblance.
It was a great moment. Well, listen, congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you very much.
And you can check out this exclusive interview at eradiosports.com. We will see you again real soon.
Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
And we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. Our next segment is being powered by our good friends at Mercer Well Service. They make it happen each and every week with our weekly Under the Helmet segment with three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. We are talking to Jason Peter. Jason, how are you on this Memorial Day weekend?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I'm enjoying the three-day break. It's going to kind of get me ready and geared up for the summer months, because that's when every day is a two-on-one fast break as a mom, because, you know, when you got your boys at home, there is no quiet.
School's out, I imagine, for them.
Yeah, it's coming up. I've got one out of school, and our little guy will be out the first week in June, but it'll be nice as a family enjoying this three-day weekend. But listen, we've got lots to discuss, and we're kind of short on time, but I want to talk to you about the mainstay of the Chicago Bears. I mean, Brian Urlacher is retiring, and I have to share with our listeners, you know, our show originated out in the Four Corners area in New Mexico, and I remember when Brian, you know, played for the University of New Mexico out there, and so I'm just like, man, where have the years gone? He's already retiring, and he's only 35. My question to you is, Jay, were you surprised to hear of this retirement?
Now, after 13 seasons, not really.
Okay.
You know, you kind of... You knew that if he was going to continue to play, you know, he probably would have signed a deal closer to fall camp starting. And, you know, kind of a lot of guys in his situation usually end up doing that, you know, whether the team is still trying to figure out what they have in younger players to see if they feel like guys they drafted or guys that have been there for a year or 2 years are going to be able to handle a full slate of being a starter or being you know, a guy that plays regularly off the bench. Those are things that teams are starting to look at when they're doing these OTAs and all these team function drills, practices. So a guy like Brian sometimes is sitting there waiting to see which teams ultimately decide we need a veteran presence at that middle linebacker position. But, you know, here's a guy that what else is there to do? I mean, he's going to go down as not just one of the greatest middle linebackers to play, but one of the greatest defensive players, I think, to play ever. You know, I know just from within my family, my brother was able, he played a year with Brian in Chicago, a year or 2 years maybe, and he said, Jason, he goes, this up to this point, he goes, this is the best player that I've ever played with on defense, and that's saying a lot, because, you know, he played with Michael Strahan, you know, Jesse Armstead, there were a lot of guys on that Giant defense who gone on to great careers, but he said Urlacher was something special. 13 years, I think, you know, all pro or something, 8 years, it's impressive. And I think it's great when you see a guy that's able to do it all with the same colors on for his entire career, because you just don't see that often anymore.
Oh, I agree with you. And, you know, as I would assume, is kind of what I'm hearing you say too, is that he's assured a spot. Would you agree? And the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I mean, this is a future Hall of Famer that we're talking about.
Yeah, if he doesn't get in, then I think voters need to look at themselves in the mirror and ask themselves if they're really worthy of or educated enough to make big decisions like that, because I don't know in this era, you know, you got him and I think Ray Lewis are the two guys that are head and shoulders above everybody else. And you know, you think about it, almost what Brian has done is more impressive, because you mentioned, you know, the time at New Mexico, and he played safety in college, and the NFL said, you know, or Chicago said, this guy, he's, you know, we're going to put some weight on him, and he's going to play middle linebacker for us. That's impressive, because number one, you don't know how a guy's body will change. Will he be able to carry that sort of weight? You know, will he be able to withstand, you know, taking on 330-pound pulling guards and 330-pound offensive tackles that are ear-holing you and you know, playing ISO blocks against some of these fullbacks that they have in the NFL that, you know, are 250, 260 pounds and run 4-5. How's a guy going to adapt to a new position, new surroundings? And he just did it with flying colors. I mean, there was almost no break-in period for him. I mean, he went right to the top. And
it is surprising because coming from the University of New Mexico, I mean, that's not like a household name when you talk about college football. What did he play for, Rocky Long?
Yeah, I'm not sure who it was, but yeah, I mean, you're not only talking about as an individual, you know, his own physical growth, but I think it's a question that a lot of GMs and coaches, when going into the draft every year, they look at where is this guy playing? Is he going to tighten up on game day when there's 80,000 people in the stands? Or, you know, when you have an 80-yard jumbotron hanging over the field? I mean, there are things that you just don't know how. And I don't want to say New Mexico's a small school. You know, they're not Division II. They're a Division I program. But, you know, you're not talking about an Alabama or an Oklahoma or a Nebraska here where there's 80,000 people in the stands every weekend. You know, they may get a game or two like that if they go to play an Alabama or a Nebraska or an Oklahoma. But week in, week out, he's not playing in front of 75,000-80,000 people on Saturday nights. So that's something I think that GMs concern themselves with anytime they take a player from a school where maybe football is not a way of life like it is in some universities.
We are celebrating Brian Urlacher, one of the game's greatest linebackers that has ever been a part of the NFL, with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. And, you know, my opening question to you, Jason, was, you know, were you surprised to hear about this retirement? I guess it really is not a surprise, but perhaps was the limited interest in other teams picking him up, was that a bit of a surprise? Because 2 months afterwards, I mean, there really wasn't a lot of, as I said, interest from other teams.
Yeah, you'd think that a guy of his reputation, but I think this kind of goes back to what I said to start off, and that's you have 32 franchises that are they're dissecting and breaking down the guys that they have right now. You know, teams are always looking to get younger. They're not looking to get older. Unless, of course, you get to that point where you're about to head into the season and you look at the makeup of your defense and you look at the players that you have that are going to make up your 53-man roster, and you have to look at the characteristics of those guys and the attitude and the leadership and all that stuff, and you have to ask, is there a presence there? Is there somebody that when times get tough and our back's up against the wall and they're in the middle of a 13-14 play drive and they're getting the ball just pounded down their throat, is there a guy out there who's going to be able to grab everybody by the face mask and say, let's go, suck it up, we got another play, we got to get off the field, let's make something happen here? Do you have anybody out there like that? And if the answer is no, then I think that's when guys like Brian Urlacher tend to probably have their phone ringing more times than not, because he's a guy that's proven he's been in those situations, he handles those situations, he excels at those situations. So right now, I think most teams are trying to get younger, but I think you see kind of right before the season will start, you'll probably see some of those older veterans that are still looking for a place to play. They usually will find a home.
Well, I think his decision, Brian Urlacher, I listened to an interview earlier this week on ESPN with Mike and Mike, and he certainly seems to have embraced retirement because he certainly talked a lot about golf and fishing and how much he's looking forward to that. And yeah, and Jason, you know this as a former NFL player. I mean, you've been a part of the league. You know the grind, not only physical but mentally, how much it just sucks the life out of you.
Absolutely, and And I didn't do it for near as long as him, but I know physically, you know, my health is horrible. You know, it's difficult taking care of, you know, my young kids. You know, I'm not that far removed from playing. I mean, when you think, put it in life perspective, and, you know, a guy like Brian, certainly his body has started to fail him at a NFL level, you know, the level that you need in order to play a 16-game season. But it will catch up with him. You know, it won't be long, I'm sure, until, you know, he needs a knee replaced, or he needs back surgery, or you know, something. Because your body doesn't get better as you get older. It continues to break down, and our bodies break down at a much faster rate than the guy who hasn't gone through training camp, you know, 13 times like Brian has.
Well, and I thought Brian brought up a great point, too. He just said, you know, my kids, you know, it's difficult to, you know, get to be a part of their activities, and they're growing up so fast, and I just don't want to miss any more of that. So I thought it was wonderful to hear him say that, too. My final question for you, Jason, and we literally have about 60 seconds. It's a big weekend here in Fort Worth. We've got the Colonial Golf Tournament going on. Now, Sergio Garcia is not here, and of course, Tiger Woods is not here, but the feud continues. And what in the world? We would just need to slap Sergio upside the head. I mean, what was he thinking about his disparaging comments to Tiger this week?
I don't know what he's thinking, but
very disappointing.
This is why people, when they see the meltdown last week, I think, or a couple weeks ago, I think this is why people say, I'm glad it was Sergio, because there's things that just come out of his mouth, and this obviously...
Do you remember the old saying, Jason? Let me jump in here. Loose lips sink the ship.
Yeah, and you know, what he said went over the line.
Yes,
it truly did. And here, he's in a position where, you know, there were some people that thought, man, he's in the right, you know, with this whole thing with Tiger pulling out his club, and then, you know, people are maybe siding with Sergio because of Tiger's response and how, you know, I didn't do anything wrong, and, you know, this whole thing. And now all of that goodwill that Sergio maybe had, that's gone. And now I think, you know, you go back to, remember when he used to take all the time over the ball and the practice swings and everything else, and just the rate of play was so slow, and it just drove people crazy. And I think, you know, now he's kind of back at that point where people are going to love to see him fail. They really are. You're talking about Tiger Woods, who, for as much controversy as there is around him, people love him. They love to watch him. And now you almost make him a sympathetic figure, even after everything that he's done, because here Sergio goes and pulls this race card. It's just, I don't know what he was thinking.
Very well said. Jason, we look forward to talking to you next weekend. You and Sarah and the girls have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, and we'll catch up next week, okay?
Thank you. You too, Ace.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment, and join us online at eradiosports.com.